all over this country this morning, rabbis are talking about something. And I, too, originally intended to talk about something. But in the end, I decided on this Rosh Hashanah to talk about nothing. First of all, as many of you know, the best Yom Kippur joke is about nothing. It's about the three scholars standing in front of the sanctuary and beating their chests wildly and screaming out, "I'm nothing, I'm nothing," and the little shamus in the back figures that's how it's done. So he starts beating his chest, saying, "I'm nothing, I'm nothing," and one of the scholars nudges the other and goes, "Huh, look who thinks he's nothing." But I'm talking about nothing, first of all, with the awareness that nothing has a certain cultural cachet. Seinfeld, very popular show, was famously a show about nothing. That was how they advertised it. There are songs about nothing, like "Nothing from Nothing Leaves Nothing." Books about zero. And, though you may not know this, nothing plays a central role in Jewish theology. When the mystics talk about God, they call God nothing. Ayin. Because, according to the mystics, everything in the world is something, except for God. God is not a thing. God is literally no thing, nothing. If you point to air or point to molecules or point to the ceiling or point to your soul or point to anything, it's something. But as soon as you define God, you say God is this or God is that, then in some way you've limited God. You're saying God is. And since you're not allowed to say what God is because we can't begin to conceive of a good definition of God, the mystics say the only good way of talking about God is saying God is not a thing, therefore God is nothing. And in the mystic literature, that's what you will find. But I want to begin with nothing in our lives, because I think we suffer from the absence of nothing. In both ways. That is, there's nothing that you're really missing, and you're missing nothing. Everything in our lives has to have consequences. We always want to know what William James called the cash value of something. When someone's doing something, you say, "Well, why are you doing it? What do you get out of that? What's the deal here? You're doing this, but really, you'd be better off if you were doing that." Think about things that we do for no reason at all. You used to do things for no reason, because all of you used to be children, and that's why children play. Nobody says, "Why are those kids playing?" They're playing for no reason, because that's what children do. And sometimes, in our better moments, adults do things like that for no reason. I know people who play for no reason. It's called golf. I don't do it, but I understand people do. But I want you to know, as soon as you say, "Let's put a bet on this, let's make it more interesting," you've destroyed the nothingness of it. Now you're doing it for a reason. And we need more no-reasonness in our lives. Not only in relation to what we do. Montaigne, the French essayist, wrote a beautiful essay about friendship. And he said about his best friend, Etienne, after he died, he said, "If you ask me why I loved him, the only honest answer I can give you is because he was he and I was I." There's no reason for real deep affection and love for another human being. You can give reasons, but ultimately it transcends reason. The rabbis, by the way, say the exact same thing. In Pirkei Avot, they say there are two kinds of love. Ahava she'tluya b'davar, love that depends on something. V'ahava she'eino tluya b'davar, love that depends on nothing. The example they give of love that depends on something is Amnon and Tamar, where Amnon lusts after Tamar, he takes her forcibly, and after they have sex together, he's not interested in her anymore, because they say it was based on something, on a specific thing, and once that thing was satisfied, he was done. The example that was based on nothing is Jonathan and David. Because their friendship wasn't based on mutual interest or advancement or anything, it was just he was he and I was I. That kind of love, they say, endures. It doesn't go away. You know, in our prayers, we talk about the rebuilding of the temple. Why was the temple destroyed? According to the rabbis, it was because of sinat chinam, because of baseless hatred. Because, basically, this may surprise you, but Jews were fighting with other Jews. Thousands of years ago. It's an old tradition. So Rav Kook, who was the first chief rabbi of Israel before it became a state, said if the temple was destroyed because of baseless, causeless hatred, the only way we will ever get it back is if we have ahavat chinam, baseless, causeless love. In other words, love for no reason at all. And in a society and among a group of people that are so used to reasons and so used to reasoning, this is bracing to hear. We read that in Kohelet, by the way. Kohelet, again, a few thousand years ago, one of the books of the Torah. Kohelet says, God made people simple, but they've engaged in too much reasoning. So if someone asks you, why are you here today? I think the best answer is not to give a reason. I'm here because this is where I should be. I'm a Jew. Jews should be here today. Because as soon as you give a reason, you invite an argument. You invite disproof. You make your being contingent on something. You know that wonderful story about Mother Teresa, who was tending to the lepers in Calcutta, and a journalist came up behind her and saw her swabbing the festering, ugly sores of a dying man, and the journalist said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. To which she answered, neither would I. If rewarded, if given a reason, it destroys the beautiful nothingness of it. In fact, they did this with children once. They tried an experiment where they asked kids to play with their favorite toy, and then they started to pay them for playing with it. In very short order, none of the children wanted to play with the toy anymore. When you love something for its own sake, it's enduring. When you make it a subject of getting the reward, the nothingness is gone. The way the rabbis put it is schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is doing the mitzvah. Not what you'll get for it. The actual doingness, the nothingness of it. We are built, our tradition, from ancient times on God, Torah, and Israel. So I thought about all three. The truth is, as some of you know, I spend a lot of time arguing about God. I've been in all these public debates with people about God, reasons why you should believe in God. But really, It's beyond reason. There are arguments this way and that way, but I don't believe in God because of a reason. I believe in God because God is a presence in my life, not because I can diagram it on a blackboard. It's the nothingness of the belief that keeps it enduring and real. Because if I believed in God for a reason, then tomorrow someone else could come across with a better reason. But that's not how belief works, not real belief, not deep belief. It is closer to love than to argument. It is what it is. And Torah? Again, we argue, was Torah written by God? Was it written by human beings? Was it written by some combination of the two? But beyond the argument is when you open it up and you read it, you discover something that will inevitably enrich your life. And you know what the rabbis say is the highest form of study? Torah lishma. And that means studying the Torah for no reason. No reason at all. That is higher than studying it to become a scholar or studying it to become a rabbi. The best way to study Torah is just to study Torah. In other words, for nothing. And Israel. I thought long and hard about giving an Israel sermon this morning because that's what rabbis do. And I could talk about Israel's position in the world and the way other people are treating Israel and what Israel should or shouldn't do and all of that. But you know, as I thought about nothing, I realized that the deepest statement we can make about Israel is not about its particular position in the world right now. Because I, like you, love Israel based on nothing. It's not based on any biblical passage or any single city or site or whatever government is in Israel today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. It's not based on how many software startup companies Israel has. If they took all the startups and moved them tomorrow to Cyprus, would you love Israel any less? It is ahava she'ena tluya b'davar. It's love that doesn't depend on anything. It's love that depends on no thing. And that's the deeper message to remember every time we get in these endless arguments about politics here and there, that underneath it all is the foundation of baseless, causeless love. Ahavat chinam. Because if you think of a reason why you love Israel, I want to know, if I take that reason away, do you no longer love it? It's not even because it is currently the state of the Jewish people that you love it, because guess what? We loved Israel for thousands of years before it became the state of the Jewish people. That's why we're grateful and prayerful and want to defend it and want to protect it, but it's not why we love it. We love it because it's Israel. There is, in the Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism, a Torah of the Nefesh, a Torah of the soul, that can't be written down and can't be memorized. It's kind of a nothing Torah. A Torah that is not a thing. It's not palpable. You can't see it. You can't touch it, but it's real. And this may be the way to think about it. There's a rabbinic midrash, a rabbinic teaching, that when God came to Sinai, God only revealed one letter. The first letter of the Ten Commandments. It's right up there. And what's the first letter of the Ten Commandments? An aleph. And what sound does an aleph make? No sound at all. In other words, on Sinai, God revealed silence. God revealed nothing. And from that divine nothing, that remarkable revelation of a silent letter, all of our tradition was born, just like from a little seed, an oak can grow. So, here's what I want to suggest. Here's my agenda for all of us for this coming year, or at least a piece of my agenda. This year, do something for no reward. Love for no reason. Act not to achieve recognition. Give without caring where your giving will bring you. Do something for nothing. Because all of us come from nothing and we return to nothing. But remember, in the Jewish tradition, nothing means God. Nothing means God. So when you do it for no reward, for no end, for no reward of yourself or those you care about, you do it for God. And that, my friends, ain't nothing. Shana Tova.